thank you for the privilege and honor and the opportunity to hear your word. We thank you, your word is eternal. We thank you, your word is life-changing, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you, Father God, for the entrance of your word that will give and produce light, divine illumination and revelation, and it will give understanding to the simple. We thank you for understanding. We thank you for simplicity and full clarity of your word. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you that Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified in all that we said and say and do. And you, Father God, will get all the glory, honor, and praise, adoration, thanksgiving for all that is done today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, so we're going to head into Resurrection Sunday with a refresher on faith, living by faith, because the importance of faith is so paramount today. It's so top priority today. Now, some people have turned aside or thrown aside the law of faith, the lifestyle of faith, because they think, well, that was a season, or that was just a movement. Now, to me, it makes me want to spit when I hear the word faith is just a movement or just a season. Because people get caught up in so many religious fads and traditions, and they think that, well, God's doing a new thing. And everybody gets excited about when they say God's doing a new thing. Well, God was going to do this new thing. Now, okay, that didn't work out, so God's going to do a new thing. It seems like God's putting out inferior product or something like that. He's not putting out inferior product. His word never fails. His word never changes. So living by faith is always the plan. It is imperatively high priority. So we're going to talk about today just one aspect of faith, living by faith. We're going to talk about the law of faith. The law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. Now next week we'll kind of portray the lifestyle of faith. Because faith is not just a law, it is a lifestyle. But I want to ground you in this up front, the law of faith. Everybody say it again, the law of faith. All right, so that we can have common terms, before I read my opening scripture, I'm going to read you two scriptures just so we can have a common reference. Because the word faith has been bantered around so much over the last decade that some people are very confused in what I'm saying. When I'm saying faith, they don't understand. So we can't communicate or connect about this unless we have a common ground and common understanding of what I mean. Okay. Now I'm going to turn to 1 Timothy 5:8. These are the scriptures before my opening scripture. It says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. He has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. King James says infidel. I'm reading out of New King James. So the faith. Everybody say the faith. He says it again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, where he's at his end of life, kind of valedictory. He's basically a statement. He said, I fought, verse 7, 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Everybody say the faith. Now, so that is not what I'm talking about. Because when he says the faith, Paul is using an analogy that equates to a life of a Christian, like the lifestyle of Christianity, the Christianity persuasion. Amen. The embodiment of Christian doctrine. Now, I'm talking about a different aspect than that. You know, back in the 1970s, I know I'm dating myself. Some of you weren't born then. I was very little back then. But I remember my dad using the phrase because it was coming up in our church circles when I was hanging out with my dad. And he's in heaven now. But, you know, my dad would reference, you know, you'd hear it on TV because it was starting to come up, you know, because of certain shows. Brother Steve may understand what I'm talking about. This lady called Foxy Brown was coming up. And so in our culture, they would say the word, you know, man, she sure is a fox. They're a fox. So it referred to what? A woman. A beautiful woman. And so she's a fox. That was just a phrase used back in the 70s. Some of y'all remember that, right? Okay. And then when Audi started becoming an automobile manufacturer, back in the 70s, same time, kind of time frame, when Audi began to put, its first car that it pushed out was the Audi Fox. And then, of course, we know since our existence, before any of us were born, there's a bushy-tailed, long-tailed, pointed-eared animal called a what? A fox. And so so when I say I come in the church, perhaps, and if back in the day, I said, man, woo, I saw a fox. Some of you might think I'm talking about a woman. Some of you might think I'm talking about a car. And some of you might think I'm talking about an animal. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page when it comes to faith. When I'm talking about faith, and particularly the law of faith, this is what I'm talking about right here. And turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Everybody on the same page with me. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and upon and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, means mercy seat, by his blood or through faith in his blood, through faith in his blood, to demonstrate his righteousness because of the forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Now, when we say faith in his blood, we're talking about faith in what his blood accomplished. When we take communion, he said, remember me. The elements represents his what? His body and his what? Blood, shed blood. His shed blood, particularly, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, particularly his blood ratified, sealed, and established the New Testament or the New Covenant. We call it the better covenant, the Word of God says, on better promises. The better covenant established on better promises. So when we say we have faith in the blood, we put our faith in what the blood has done, what the blood can do, and what the blood will do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Verse 26, to demonstrate the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in who? Look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? So nobody can brag about, look at this, look at my blessings, look at my bigness, look at my how big I've become. He says it's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by, underline this phrase, the law of faith. The law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. That means everybody got to come through the same way. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Everybody say the law of faith. So you could put underneath as a subtitle what faith is, and or you can say it this way: why is faith so important? So these powerful and profound passages of scriptures communicate loud and clear that righteousness, or God's righteousness, comes through faith. You can't get the righteousness. In other words, let's break down the word righteousness. Righteousness is simply this. Righteousness is the ability, the God-given ability, God-granted ability, to come into the presence of God without fear, guilt, shame, inferiority, or condemnation. It's the ability to come. But it also means right standing with God. It also means to have full legal spiritual rights. Full legal or spiritual right. Rights to what? Rights to the covenant. God deals with relationship, or you don't relate to God casually. You got to relate to God covenantly. That means you got to be his child. You got to be born again. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's why we take communion, because we remember what Jesus has done, what Jesus is doing, what Jesus will do in our lives. It's all about him. Our celebration of communion is about him and faith in what he has done. And like I said, we also see that faith is not a movement. Faith is not just a message. It's not a wave or form or type of denomination. Because in the days when people would ask you a lot of times, what faith are you? What were they meaning? Religious persuasion or affiliation. That's not what I'm talking about. And then, of course, recently in the last 15 years, decade and a half, you know, the government has come up with what they've categorized as faith-based projects. That's not what I'm talking about. Somebody say glory to God. We see here from the scripture that faith is a law. You got to understand that faith is a law. Now, we know love is the royal law. James 2:9 says this, but faith is a law. Faith is a spiritual law. Everybody say faith is a spiritual law. Or you can say faith is a principle. See, we're going to talk about the principles of the law of faith. And why they're so important, because they work regardless of age, stage, generation, color, culture, classification, category you may find yourself in. The law of faith works all the time. Somebody say glory to God. So why is faith so important? How important is faith? Number one, we are declared righteous. We who are declared righteous are to live by faith. Romans 1:16-17, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from what? From faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by what? Shall live by faith. And just is just a word that just means to be declared righteous. We get the word justified, which means to be declared righteous. When you're declared righteous on God's standard, that means you have right standing with him. That means you have a good position with God. That means you have access and ability to God's legal and spiritual rights, to his legal and spiritual benefits, blessings, and his covenant. Only the righteous can do that. That's why faith is so important. Just shall live by faith. You're not made righteous by works or the flesh or by religious tradition. You're made righteous by faith. So if I ask this sister over here, if we could live by faith, how many hours in a day would you say you live? You can answer the question. How many hours a day do you live? Say, okay, so got some help. She got some help. She was hesitant. She's like, do I live every hour of the day or not? I'm just picking on you, sister. How many hours a day do we live? We live 24. Okay. Let's ask this sister over here. How many days a week do you live? 7 days a week? Okay. Look at that. Everybody catching on. How many days a year do you live? So 24/7, 365. In other words, we can and should take a, what we say, a family vacation, but never take a what? Faith vacation, because your faith is how you live. The just shall live by what? Why? Galatians 3:3-11 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident the just shall live by what? How are you living? Is your faith taking a vacation? Because faith is the only way you work with God legitimately and legally. So if your faith is not working, then you're not working with God. Number two, we're saved by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace as you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we say if faith goes away, if faith is just a movement, it's just a season, if it was just a fad, if we're trying to go to a new thing now, if faith goes away, grace to receive the gift of salvation goes away, and without faith, no one can get saved. Because you're saved by grace, grace makes salvation, healing, deliverance, victory available. But faith is what takes what grace has made available. So we say grace makes, faith takes. But faith can only take what grace has made available. Somebody say praise the Lord. Yeah. So if there's no more faith, then there's no more grace. And that means nobody else can get saved. Do we believe that faith has gone away? We ought to be living by faith. Number three, faith is what pleases God. Now, there's some other important aspects we'll cover next week. I'm just giving you three here to kind of whet your appetite. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, y'all can almost quote this one, right? It's what? Impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, if you just take out everything after impossible, you can just even make a statement there. Without faith, it's impossible. Can I prosper? Without faith, it's impossible. Can I receive divine healing? Without faith, it's impossible. Are you listening to me? Can I see my family come to Christ and be saved and follow the Lord fully? Without faith, it's impossible. Are you listening to me? Can I accomplish that victory in my life that I need over this habit or perhaps even an addiction or a vice that's gripping me like it's a stronghold? Without faith, it's what? Impossible. It's impossible. Now, how is God pleased? Amen. God is pleased when it is not pleased. He's displeased when we're not receiving and when we're not overcoming. And I would venture to say this briefly, that there's too many people that have thrown aside faith and they're not what? Receiving, and they're not overcoming. These can only occur by faith. God is pleased when we as his children are receiving the gifts and graces that he has given. Because remember, when we take communion, it represents Jesus' loud statement, it's finished. It makes a resounding statement in our head and in our heart. It's already done. The work is finished. It's already done. Your healing's already done. Your salvation is already done. Come on now. Your victory is already won. Come on now. It's already done by the works of Jesus. But it takes faith to receive what has already been done, what has already been given. God is pleased when we're overcoming and experiencing, listen to me very closely, personal, private, and public manifested victory. Personal means you know that thing that tries to hinder you, hurt you, or harm you, or hold you back from being who God called and created you to be. Every one of us should be having personal victories because our faith is growing and our faith is moving in the right direction. Private victories means that people that understand what's going on with you and yours, meaning your family. Family victories, church victories, things that we know that were hindering or holding us back, we overcome them by faith. Are you listening to me? And public victories, that means the whole world, God just puts you like a trophy over the whole world that gives him glory because your faith in him caused this thing to come to pass. Somebody say glory to God. See, all that our Father God has given and provided and promised will go through the Lord Jesus Christ, will go unattained and unenjoyed unless and until we, by acting upon the word and activating the word by our faith, take it. We said it before. Love is the greatest motivator. The Bible says in Galatians 5:6, faith works by what? Love. It's the motive in which we should be doing everything. We should be praying motivated by love. Love for God and love for people. Amen. And we should be prophesying. We should be professing the word. We should be providing service to others. Why? Motivated by love. We give because we love God. We give because we love his church. We give because we love the things of God. We give because we love people. Love is the greatest motivator, but faith is the greatest activator. You do not, listen to me very closely. There's three things I want you to really grab a hold of. Your faith activates, it accesses, and it appropriates all the benefits and promises and provisions that God has made available through the covenant that we have with Christ. When Jesus said this is the New Testament established or ratified and made valid in my blood, that means your faith has to activate it. Your faith has to access it and appropriate it. Everything, listen to me. I'm making a big bold statement. It may shock some of you. Everything you'll ever need or desire or want in life has already been provided in that covenant. Anything you'll ever need, want, or desire has been already provided in the covenant. And you can receive, like one minister says, you've been made wealthy beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. Because God has provided more than enough for all of us. But see, it will go unexperienced and unenjoyed unless and until you get your faith to activate that. But faith works principally by a law, the law of faith. If you know how to work the system, you can get out of this rat race world system. And you, every one of us online and thus in this church should rise above the life and living in this rat race, in this ungodly, fallen, earth-cursed system, come on now, and start to rise up to a new level of faith. Because we understand, first and foremost, that faith is a law. There are principles to this law that work 24/7, 365. And you've heard me say it before, I'll say it again. Everybody's faith should be working before you start physically working on anything that you've been responsible or have in front of you for that day. Your faith should be working. But it should be working based on the law and the principles of the law of faith. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. Someone say hallelujah. So everything you ever need, ever want, or ever desire has already been taken care of. Now, I'll caveat and qualify it with that is consistent with a godly lifestyle. Because some say, well, I want $50 million, Pastor Dan. I want $1 billion. Okay. Is it going to keep inconsistent with a godly lifestyle? Because if you're going to leave God and leave the church and leave everything of God, then that's not consistent with a godly lifestyle. Somebody say glory to God. Because more money sometimes exposes the real character of who you are. Yeah. Praise God. You got to pass the money test when you don't have a lot. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, that's a little plaster or plug there. All right. So what are some of the principles? And we'll close with these principles. I'm going to give you seven. Really quick, so you can write seven down there. We'll start with Mark 11, 22 through 26, because these outline, Jesus does, the principles of the law of faith. Faith is a law. Mark 11, 22, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. We said that scripture means have the faith of God, or you might say it this way, have the God kind of faith. How does God's kind of faith operate? He gives us an explanation in verse 23 and 24. For surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. All right? Principle number one. We all have been given the same measure of the God kind of faith. So stop thinking, looking jaded, and starting having that junky thoughts in your mind that somebody else got more faith. Some people always think, pastors got more faith. This person got more faith. No, they're just using their faith that they've been given. We've all been given the measure of the God kind of faith. Everybody say, I have the measure of a God of the God kind of faith. Romans 12:3 says, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Anybody play cards? Spades? Who's played spades? Come on, everybody ain't saved and in heaven already. Spades? All right. So when they deal you so many cards, it's a misdeal when what? Somebody gets the wrong amount or the lesser amount of cards, right? But when God deals, he deals fairly. So everybody's been dealt what? The same measure of the faith, God kind of faith. Everybody say, I have of a measure of the God kind of faith, of mountain moving faith, of faith that created the worlds. Whew. I mean, God gave you his very own faith. So sometimes you got to say that. You got to activate that. I can speak to stuff. Things that are like mountainous or really big or seemingly impossible. Because some of us think our problems are so big that God can't even move them. Some of us even think our bad acting or maybe bothering family members are so big and bad that God can't even touch them. Amen. Get your faith up. Hallelujah. Principle number two. We're reminded in verse 23, 24, verse Mark 11, as we've seen from these verses, that faith works. In other words, you operate the law of faith by both saying it and praying it. So faith works by saying, but verse 24, it shows us the prayer of faith or the petition prayer. So faith works by saying it or praying. So what are you saying? What are you praying? Now, if you pray it, you still have to say it. Because some people negate, nullify, or neutralize their praying because they get up from prayer saying stuff negative. You just prayed and believed that you received your healing, and then you go around all the rest of the day saying how painful you feel, how much in pain or how much the problem exists in your physical body. You're not saying the same thing you just prayed. So you negated, you nullified, you neutralized your prayer. Well, praise the Lord. Principle number three. Y'all getting this? We also learned that the most basic law of faith is to believe in your heart and say with your mouth. Faith believes in the heart. The first channel of faith beginning in the operation of the law of faith is the heart channel. It's not Netflix. Come on now, it's not YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. Thank God for Netflix. It's not Prime Video. It's not cable TV. It is the heart channel. What's going on in your heart? Do you believe? Are you fully persuaded of the truth of God's word in your heart? Now, most people don't have a problem with that part. But the mouth part is the second part. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Now you can add salvation. You can just add anything. Victory. With the mouth confession is made unto your promotion. With the mouth confession is made unto your prosperity. With the mouth confession is made unto your deliverance. With the mouth, confession is made unto family peace. Somebody say, glory to God. See, operating in the law of faith. Second, see, your faith believes with the heart. Second, it speaks or confess with the mouth. So what do we say? We've said this before. I just repeated it from Pastor Mark Hankins. We'll see him next week. Praise God, get a chance to hang out with them all week. He says this, the Lord told him this. He says, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. Amen. In other words, if your faith has to get to a place where you begin to speak your faith. You begin to say it. That means you've got to get your faith working, the law of faith, and the two primary principles is believing and speaking. We said the door to the supernatural swings on these two hinges. Believing and speaking. What are you believing? But all important, just as importantly, what are you speaking? Now, you don't just speak about things that have happened in the past because that's factual. That's sometimes only thing people talk about. What has happened or what is happening. But are you speaking your faith in for the future? You should be speaking. If you're single and desiring to get married, you should be speaking about your future spouse. Because if you're not talking, if your faith's not talking, it's not working. If you're dealing with physical challenges or weight challenges, if you're not speaking, believing and speaking about your body, then you're not working your faith for a healthy body. If you got a challenged organ, perhaps, or a muscle or something going on in your body, if you're not speaking to that thing, you're not by faith working against, to stand against that thing. If your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never be strong enough to move your mountain. Mountain, again, big problem, giants, something seemingly impossible. Are you believing the word, what the word says, and are you speaking what the word says about that mountain or to that mountain? Oh, woo. Principle number four. Hurry up. We got to hurry up. Got to receive communion. Y'all getting something out of this? Principle number four, your faith level determines your victory level. Your faith level determines your victory level. 1 John 5:4, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Faith is your victory. How am I going to get victory in my family? How am I going to get victory in my finances? How am I going to get victory in my marriage, perhaps, if I've got challenges there? How am I going to get victory in my physical body and health and well-being? How am I going to get victory on my job or business endeavors? What is your victory? Everybody say, faith is the victory. Faith is my victory. Your victory level is determined by your faith level. So if you're going around telling everybody the facts that I'm going gloom, despair, agony on me, I'm having all these problems, having all this pressure, having all this pain, and we will experience those things because devil's after your faith. Because if he can get your faith, he can defeat you in life. So when you kneel, stand, or sit and receive your communion, you got to look at your faith. Do I really believe in what Jesus has done in his broken body and his shed blood? He didn't do it so you can get 50% victory. He didn't do it so you can get 25% victory. Some people say, well, I got victory over here in my finances. My finances are going good. But your family's all jacked up. Or perhaps your relationships are all goofed up. I'm just talking straight because I don't have a lot of time. Amen. Or you might have something on your job where it's a whole lot of commotion and turmoil. Or maybe your physical body is just racked with pain and problems. See, faith works the same in any area, any arena, any sphere, any realm. Faith works the same. It works by principle based on the law of faith. Are y'all listening to me? Are y'all here? Amen. So your faith level determines your victory. Principle number five. Jesus is the source of our faith, and he will help us develop in it if we put his word first. Now, some people want to put their worry first. Some people want to go wicked first. Some people want to wander away from faith first because they want to tell everybody how they feel and tell everybody how frustrated they are. We saw that over the last 3 weeks in different social media environments and different people's expressions about all the problems our local community and city and country was experiencing. And see, that's not putting the word first. If we're going to be faith people, we got to be word first people. Amen. That means we got to say, what does the word say? Don't talk about what we see and feel first. Talk about, let's respond based on our faith in God first. Amen. Now, Jesus will help you because he is the source and the developer of your faith. That's one of the benefits and blessings of him being our Lord. Isn't that right? And look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates. This is the New Living Translation, NLT. Initiate and perfects our faith. He's the one who initiates. Because he's gotten us the victory, he doesn't want us to go through life as a victim. Particularly finances or physical health and well-being or your relationships. Those are really big things in our lives. So if you're not experiencing victory, you go to Jesus. He's the one you're using his faith anyway. And so say, Lord, help me here. I need you to initiate and perfect this thing in me so I can overcome in my physical well-being and health. Or I can overcome financially. I can overcome relationally. Because the Lord knows you can't serve him fully if your mind's caught up with all your pain and all your problems and all the predicaments that you're facing. This says, because of the joy waiting for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor besides God's throne. See, we can always inquire the Lord if your faith's not working. All of us should be actively engaged in doing that. If you're not connecting to God's power or anointing, you should be calling on the Lord. Lord, what's going on here? My faith's not working. You've got to ask and seek the Lord as to what do I need to do? What do I need to change? When you're not experiencing manifested victory, triumph, or you're not getting results and answers that you need. Some people want to go to other people and ask them, What's going on? Why is this not working? And so what people do become shipwrecked, or they abandon the law of faith because they think, well, it doesn't work. God didn't make faith, and there's no such thing as faith that doesn't work. Oh, y'all got to chew on that. You got to ascertain the fact that Jesus is the way, the Holy Spirit is the how. Here's the sixth principle. If our faith won't work if we don't walk in love or walk in forgiveness. He said in Mark 11:25-26, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, anything. Now that's a picture this, a tiny little pebble of a grudge. If you got an issue with one of your children, your grandchildren, your relatives, your brothers, your siblings, your parents, if you got an aunt, that means anything against anybody, your faith will be neutralized. It'll be reduced, like you cook in a recipe, they say reduce it. They put things to reduce a certain flavor or reduce a certain strength of a food. It gets reduced to zero. Your faith won't work, friends, if you don't walk in love or you don't forgive. Amen. Your faith cannot outdo your forgiveness. Your faith cannot outdo your forgiveness. In other words, your faith life and your faith walk can never rise higher than your love walk and your forgiveness walk. If you're mad at your ex, you're not going to grow to your next. See, a step out of love is a step out of God. And you got to get back to God in a hurry. Unforgiveness is the number one thing that hinders God's children from receiving from. Our faith won't work if we do not forgive. Is that plain enough? Yes. And it's not based on feeling, because you got to walk in love by faith. Sometimes you got to faith your love walk. You got to believe the best of them. You got to receive forgiveness in your heart and release it from your heart for them. You got to say, Father God, I love them. I know you love them. I forgive them. And you may have to say it 7 or 70 times in one day. But that's how you need to treat unforgiveness and the little grudge. Whew. Man, I can go somewhere and meddle right now, but I'm not going to. Praise God. Why is this, Pastor? Because an offended heart stifles faith. It blocks your answers to prayer, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why we can clearly see what Jesus is saying. Jesus was saying, this is one of the principles of the law of faith. Your faith will never outgrow or outdo your forgiveness. And some of us need to get busy forgiving people in advance. I know I'm going to talk to this person. I know they're going to become like a briar patch or sticky thorns to me. They're going to upset me, offend me. But Father God, in advance, I love them, you love them, and I forgive them. Hallelujah. Some people are mad at their boss, and they can't understand why I don't have favor. Because, see, money and finances follow favor. We praying and confessing favor, but you need to be doing forgiving. If that boss has got idiosyncrasies and they got traits and mannerisms that really bug you or rub you the wrong way, you got to say, Father God, I love them. You love them. I know you love them, and I forgive them. I forgive them how they're going to blunder the word. I forgive them how they're going to come in the office with a bad mood and talk all crazy to me, but I refuse to get offended. I refuse to get upset. But why? Because you're going to allow the devil to mess with your faith, and then he's going to mess with your victory. Principle number 7, last one. The evidence of active faith is that we are believing to receive, we rejoice, and we are thankful and full of praise. We've said it before, faith rejoices. Faith rejoices. If you're in faith, you're rejoicing. You're not sitting there in misery and gloom and despair. You're not in faith. Don't even act all spiritual and pious. You're not in faith. Romans 4:20 and 22. He did this did not waver over the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. That means praise and thanksgiving, and being fully convinced that he was what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, fully persuaded and fully convinced faith is a faith that gives glory and praise and thanksgiving to God. Amen. So if I'm checking on this, how's your faith going? And if you're going to tell me all these problems, then I'm just telling me your faith is not fully persuaded. Your faith is not fully convinced that God's word is true in the face of contradictory circumstances. Amen. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And so you're giving praise and glory to God. That's why the Lord's told me to get a habit of when I answer the phone sometimes, give me glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm not feeling praise, but I'm faithing my praise. Hallelujah. Somebody said glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Come on, let's just thank him right now as we get ready to receive communion. Let's just thank him right now. Praise him. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Thank him. Praise him. Praise. We thank you, Father God, for your faithfulness to your word. We thank you, Father God, for your word never failing, for your word always win. Thank you, Father God, that Jesus is our champion. He's the author and perfecter, the initiator and the perfecter of our faith. We thank you, Father God, that we make a quality decision today to let Jesus be the author and developer and finisher of our faith. And Father God, we make a decision today to live our life by faith as the justified, as the ones who have been declared righteous, that we will live by the principles of the law of faith, that we'll be a faith people and not fear people. We will be faith people, not flesh people. We will be faith people and not just operating off of our feelings people. We thank you, Father God. We'll put our faith, we'll be faith first responders. We'll be faith first responders in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God, that we are a faith church. We are faith believing and acting and speaking people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 And Father God, we know there's a scripture in, as we get ready to take communion, you can go ahead and take your seat. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation as we take communion today. There's a scripture out of the book of Luke, Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Now, here's our mission here in this series. If I can turn to it, if I can get to it. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And if you have the Passion Translation, pull it up in the Passion Translation. Now, he's talking about the communion. They were eating the Last Supper, you know, in that chapter. And then after they took communion, they argued who was the greatest, who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus began to talk about Peter's denial. Now, we talked about it in the opening, one of the scriptures I gave in the opening. You know, if you don't provide for your own, you've denied the faith. Now, I'm not talking about the faith as I'm talking about Christianity, but here I'm talking about we can deny the Lord. Because why? We refuse or become disobedient to live by faith. We can drop down to a low level of living by our feelings, our flesh, or our frustrations. But that's where we need to judge ourselves. Now listen to what he said to Peter. Verse 31. Luke 22, 31. Reading out of the Passion Translation. Peter, my dear friend, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Satan has obtained permission to come and sift you all like wheat and test your faith. One of the biggest things he's going after in Christendom, I'm just talking generally all over, he's attacking the church, but really he's trying to take away your faith, take you out of faith. But he says, but I have prayed for you, Peter, that you would stay faithful to me no matter what comes. In other words, the faith is to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to stick it out. Because, see, the principles have to be worked even when you don't see any results. You have to be faithful to confess and stand on the word every day. Just like I was telling you about Psalms 23. Didn't see nothing. Don't feel nothing. Even get frustrated about a lot of things. But still got to speak it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. In the face of screaming bills. My wife knows. You got to say it. You got to work the word so that the word can work for you. You got to stay faithful to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what comes. Remember this, after you have turned back to me and have been restored, make it your life mission to strengthen the faith of your brothers. So we're going to get strengthened in faith over the few weeks. Amen. Our faith in his finished works, our faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, all that what that entailed and encompassed, and what that accomplished for us. We got to have faith in the promises and the provision of God. We got to live like faith people. So take your communion cup and make a commitment right now before the Lord that we're going to be faith people. Jesus said, this is my body which is broken for you. I think it was you and me, Brother Steve. We were talking about, you know, we were talking about our group last Wednesday night that, you know, we got to get back to doing what the Lord is calling and creating us to do and be. Are you listening to me? We can't have foul mouths. We got to have faith mouths. We can't have fear words. We got to have faith-filled words, because faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. And that's what's running rampant around in our community, in our country right now. Sin and death. But we got to rise up and be the church. And that first and foremost means people of love and people of faith. Amen. Amen. Break the bread. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now I want you to reflect and remember that when this represents this blood, that means we said it. Say it again. Love is the greatest motivator. This is liquid love. But our faith is the greatest activator. What did this blood do? When he gave us Jesus, he gave us anything and everything we need. You got everything you need by what he has done and what the God has provided. So just receive by faith the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just stand and thank God. Hallelujah. If you're there online, hallelujah. And you need prayer. I